You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, 1 John 5, we've actually been on a few verses here just for the last few weeks. But I want to jump past some of those that we've gone over. In fact, we expounded on 1 John 5, 1 through 5, if I'm not mistaken. Is that where we went? Yeah, 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Of course, starts out and it says, you know, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How many of you believe that? Amen. Two of you. That's good. I'll give an invitation for the rest of y'all when this service is over. But it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, is born of God. The Christ, that just means the anointed one, the man, the guy, the one God was pointing to that was going to take away our sins. The one John looked at and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You know, I read this in a translation the other day and thought it was so good. When it comes to sins, I got a receipt. I didn't get a bill. And we got a receipt for our sins in Christ because he got the bill. He paid for it. Amen. Aren't you glad? Woo, three more of you are glad. That's good. I'm going to get all of you before this is all over with. But whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one that took away our sins, that did what we couldn't do, whoever believes that about Jesus is born of God. That would be me. That would be you. That would be probably everybody in this building. You believe Jesus is the Christ? You are born of God. That's what the Bible says. And it says whoever loves him who begat, that's love of God, who birthed us, also loved him who is begotten of him. That'd be everybody else. So we love God and we love the brethren. That's what he's saying there real plainly. And that's us because I believe on Jesus. I am born of God. He's talking to me. I belong here. Amen. This is my family. Christianity is what I am a Christian. I'm not trying to be one. I'm not trying to become one. I am one. Are you with me? You say, well, what I need, live holy. Well, who are you trying to impress? I'm not trying to impress somebody or anybody, but I am trying to represent someone. That's what I do with my living, my life. What, you know, salvation is God's gift to me. What I do with it is my gift to him. So he gave me salvation. He gifted me with it. He gifted with through Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave the gift. He gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. And I have everlasting life. I'm not going to perish. In fact, you know, in August in Texas, that's the hottest it's ever going to get for me. It's not going to get any hotter than that for me. I'm going to heaven. He says this, by this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God, and we keep his commandments. So there is a thing called holy living, living right. But that's a product of my faith. That's not faith and salvation is not a product of my holy living. If I love God, I'm going to live right. I want to live right. I don't want to do wrong. I can sin. I can do that. But it just doesn't feel right anymore. You know, I remember when I got saved, things I used to do before I got saved didn't feel right after I got saved. It just didn't have the same pleasure, didn't have the same satisfaction. In fact, when I'd slip, you know, that first week or two, you know, when I got saved, I'd go, wow, I can't do that. Even my records didn't sound, my music didn't sound the same. Are you with me? And I'm not getting on a tear about all that. I'm just saying that it just didn't seem right. I'm reading my Bible and listening to all these old, well, you know, the records I used to listen to. I'm already dating myself when I said records. I did have an 8-track, too, so I'm really dating myself there. But it just didn't sound right listening to some of the words to Led Zeppelin songs. ZZ Top. And I found out Jesus left Chicago and went down to New Orleans. But anyway, that's another thing on there. Most of y'all wouldn't even get that if that's no ZZ Top song. So I'm reading my Bible, and I'm listening to this going, this just doesn't sound right, you know. And so I just loaded them all up and sold them to a friend of mine that was still lost. But anyway. And he never paid me either. He never gave me the money for that either. But, I mean, I just got saved. I didn't know, you know. Things didn't feel right that used to feel right. Why is that? Because something happened to me. See, it wasn't me trying to be good. I mean, something happened to me. I was saved. I was born again. The inside of me changed. And I could have pushed that voice down. I could have pushed through that and continued to sin, I mean, and dampened that voice. But why would you want to do that? I need that voice loud, that voice of conscience, that new born-again creature inside of me. Amen? And so it was a process. It took time for me to learn different things and pick up on things. I'm still working on it. But I got saved. I didn't earn it. I didn't buy it. I didn't get smart enough to get it. I got it. I accepted Jesus. I finally gave in. The hound of heaven was on my trail, and I stopped running. I finally threw away all my weapons and took off all my, you know, all my rebellion and laid it down in the chains and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And I love God and I love the brethren. And love is the way. Amen? Amen. Love is the way. So he says this, by this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, not hard. It's not grievous, as it is, as King James says, grievous, I think it said. But it's not hard to serve God if you'll give him your all. It's hard when you're half and half. It's hard when you got one foot in the world and one foot in church. It's hard when you're playing a chameleon. It's hard when you're wearing all these different hats. The problem with being different people around, you know, not being the same around everybody, is that being one person around this person, one person around that group, one person at work, one person in the church, one person, you know, around your relatives. The problem is that you have to keep up with who all those people are, and you finally forget who you are. That's the problem with that. And if you really want to be consistent, then just find out who God says you are and be that person, because that's who you are. Anything else you try to be is being hypocritical. You need to be who you are. And you are a child of God. You are a Christian. You are a believer if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You need to come to grips with that. That's a good thing. Amen. You are saved. Hallelujah. Not perfect. You're working on things. I mean, we have to train ourselves and discipline ourselves and work on it. But hey, I am a Christian. Woo. Are you out there? So he says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. So grace is not just a power to be forgiven. Grace is a power over sin. You know, we often talk about grace and say, well, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm forgiven. But grace actually is not just forgiveness. Grace is a power to overcome sin. Grace is a force. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Well, it doesn't matter where I live, I'm saved by grace. Oh, no, I know you're saved by grace. I understand all that. I got that. But grace gives me the power to live right now. Grace gives me a power I didn't have before. It gives me the power to love when I couldn't love. It gives me the power to forgive when I couldn't forgive. Power to overcome sin that had me in its clutches, that had me in its chains. Now grace gives me the ability to break those chains and get free from that addiction or that sin or whatever the case may be. Hallelujah. Grace is a force. It's a power. I love God. I overcome the world because I'm born of God. I was born to overcome. Hallelujah. Y'all sound real excited about that. So he says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Everybody say faith. Well, you got to believe. Amen. If you don't believe, it's not going to happen. You know, we're often called that blab it and grab it church, or believe it and receive it, whatever. But it is true, though. If you doubt, you will do without. Yeah. You do know that, don't you? And people often say, well, that's that faith church. Y'all just teach faith down there. Well, I don't teach doubt and unbelief. In fact, I don't ever remember preaching a sermon that says, now, y'all remember, I don't want you to believe a word of this. In fact, every message I preach, I want you to believe. And I would think that any church that preaches anything for the Bible wants them to believe what they're preaching. We are faith preachers by virtue of what we do. We're preaching faith. We're preaching people should believe in Jesus. People should believe the Bible. Amen? Paul said he preached the word of faith. That's what he called it. Now, I know that could be abused. I understand. But we are about believing. We're about believing God and trusting God. And when you believe God and trust God, your life is better. It gets better. Your marriage is better. Your business is better. Your personality, everything just gets better. You're just a whole lot easier to live with. We are just waiting on you to get in faith. Are you out there? Because yeah. Everybody's better when they trust God, when they put some faith in him. He says this. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Woo! Man, everybody say, that's me. Okay, so quit letting the world overcome you. Yeah. Quit letting circumstance overcome you. Quit letting the stress of the day overcome you. Quit letting the bad news that you hear from time to time. And in this world, you will hear bad news. But quit letting it overcome you. Quit letting the fear of the future overcome you. You know, Jesus said in the last days that men's hearts will fail them for fear of what's coming upon the earth. Well, don't let that happen. He also said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And then he goes on and says this. He says, in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In me, you have peace. Amen. Woo! That's good. That's good news. Amen. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the trouble, we can have peace. We overcome. Well, whatever's coming our way is something we can overcome. We can overcome this because we believe in Jesus. We can overcome this crisis because we believe in Jesus. We can handle this. We can press through this. We're bigger than this because greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us, and we've got the victory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, it may seem overwhelming. I may feel like a shell of a man. I may feel like I can't, you know, pick up another phone and say hello. I may feel like I can't get out of the chair, but it doesn't matter because God says that he in me is greater than he that is outside of me. Hallelujah. And what I need to do is just get in faith and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am born of God. I am a Christian. I was born to overcome this. Trouble, I've been looking for you all my life. Pain, I was born for such a time as this. I can overcome this in Jesus' name. Amen? Isn't that what Scripture says? So we ought to look into this in faith. It's the truth. I don't know what everybody's been telling you, but here's the truth. I don't know what you've been telling yourself, but here's the truth. And the truth will set you free. It'll make you free if you'll get a hold of it. You know, Jesus said in John 8, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I just love that. Now a disciple is more than just a convert. I mean, you can be born again and not be a disciple. You can actually be saved and not be a very good disciple. Disciple just means someone under the teaching or under the learning. The Greek word is mathetes. We get the word math from that. You know, the word math's a real disciplined type of learning. And in Greek, math in general would just mean learning in general. That's what it meant. So a mathetes meant someone under learning. And that's where we get the word disciple, which is really a Latin word, discipline, disciple. You know, a teaching is often called a discipline of learning. And we discipline ourselves. We get under training. We get under discipline. So Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. Not just a convert, not just born again, not just saved. But now you're my disciples. Now you're learning. See, that's where we need to get as Christians. I'm saved. Hey, I got that. I got that. But I'm saved to overcome the world. Don't really got that real good yet. Are you out there working on that one? But if I get in his word, I'll get better at that one. Because that is what I was born to do, is to overcome. I wasn't born to be overcome every time I turn around. I wasn't born to be, you know, washed out with every stressful incident or circumstance that takes place. I was born to overcome. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. But I got to learn how to do that. So as a Christian, beyond making converts, beyond souls, which is important, I think sometimes we overemphasize that in the sense that we never train anybody, we never teach anybody anything. We have crusades all over the world, but we don't start churches where people can grow and learn how to live and keep their marriage together. Are you with me? And be a witness and all those kinds of things. Beyond souls, Jesus said, go make disciples. Are you out there? So there's a balance there. If we say it's just all about souls, well, yes and no. It's about getting people saved, but also after getting them saved, it's about training them or discipling them or getting in the Word of God and finding out what God says, how I should live, how I should walk, how my marriage should be, how I should pray, what I should do about sin, how can I overcome it. Are you with me? See, Hosea 4:6 says this. It says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Didn't say my people perish for a lack of resources, a lack of God's loving them, no. Or a lack of Bible. No, we got a Bible. But a lack of knowledge of it is why we go under. We're his people. He didn't say people. He said my people perish. So what we see here, when he talks about overcoming the world by faith, our faith is what overcomes the world, but faith comes through training. It comes through discipline. It comes through listening to what God says. It comes from reading the Bible. It comes from coming to church. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us that. So if I want to overcome, then I'm going to have to develop my faith. If I'm going to be this world overcomer, I'm already saved. Got that. Amen? Got that soul thing going, okay? He got my soul. I'm saved. Now I need to be a disciple. Yeah. And if I continue in his word, then I'll be a disciple indeed. And then I'll know the truth, and the truth will make me free. Woo! Hallelujah. You know, most of what goes on in church, in a church setting, is discipling. Yeah. We lead to people to the Lord. We give an invitation. And we tell people about Jesus in our homes and our businesses and so on out in the world. Most people get saved outside the church. They come into church to grow, to learn. This is not just a salvation center in the sense that this is all about just getting people saved as they come in. Well, we want to disciple the people that are saved. There's people who have been here for 30 years. They don't need to get saved. They've been saved for 30 years. Are you with me? Henry got saved. How many years ago, Henry? 30 years ago. Yeah. 30 years ago. So if I'm just trying to get Henry saved for 30 years, I mean, it already happened 30 years ago. He needs to grow. I'm waiting on him to grow. But I'm kidding, Henry. I love you, Henry. You know that. Henry's awesome. He's just a great example of what Jesus is like. If you want an example of love and humility and compassion, there it is. Just go look at Henry. But what I'm saying is we grow after we're saved to where we should. And that's where discipling comes in. That's where learning the truth comes in. And we're learning to overcome this world because the world is against you. I'm not talking about your next door neighbor. I'm just talking about the world as a whole, the spirit of the world, the world system. It is against, the pull of the world is against you. It's against your kids serving God. It's against you being faithful to your wife. The world is against you. It pulls at you to sin. And so you have to learn to overcome the world through finding out who you are in Christ. Amen? Through finding out what the word says. You have to learn to live holy. You have to learn to overcome what is right and what is wrong. What is right and what is wrong, you're not going to find that in the world. You're not going to find that out from the news. If you want to know what's right and what's wrong, you have to go to the Bible to find out what's right and wrong. Because people's sense of right and wrong changes throughout history. It's always changed. It's one thing that's fashionable this year won't be fashionable next year. One thing that's okay this year won't be okay next year. One thing that's not okay this year will be okay next year. Are you with me? That's just the world. That's the way it goes. People change their standards like they change their clothes. And so if you want an unchanging standard, you have to get to the Word. You have to find out what God says. This is concrete reality. This is truth right here. It's kind of like math. 1 and 1 equals 2. No matter how many programs they come up, Common Core, whatever they want to call it, 1 and 1 equals 2. Anybody in the real world knows that. Are you out there? If you don't know that, you're not going to be making change for me, okay? So math just is unchanging, well, in that sense, as far as the discipline or the teaching. But God's word is unchanging. He is the Lord God. He changes not. Malachi 3:6. And then we know from Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad? I'm glad he doesn't get up tomorrow in a bad mood. I'm glad he doesn't change tomorrow. I'm glad tomorrow when I get up, these scriptures will still be here, and I'll still be born of God. Hallelujah. I still know that I'm saved. I still know that I got a heaven, hallelujah, waiting on me. I still know I got strength and peace and hope and joy and victory and resources the world doesn't have that I can tap into whenever the world throws anything its best shot. When the devil throws its best shot, I can still be standing because I got something to tap into here. I got something that doesn't change. I don't have to worry about calling him not answering. He's going to answer when I call. He said, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. When you call, God will answer. He'll show up, and he'll show out. He shows out every time. Aren't you glad? Yes. Hallelujah. So we're growing in this thing, see? And then he even goes on down. He says this. Let's skip on down to 11th verse. This helping anybody?
Yeah.
Good, because I'm going to preach myself happy. I'm determined. I'm going to preach myself happy. The 11th verse says, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Woohoo! Here it is. This is This is what we're saying. This is what John's writing. He said, this is the testimony that God has given us. Everybody say given. He just gave it to us. We didn't earn it. He didn't offer it as a reward for a deed done. No, he gave it as a gift. You know, one time I was in India. I had landed in Bombay, which now is Mumbai. They've changed the name of Bombay. But I landed in, at that time, 1980, I landed in India in Bombay, and I flew down to Trivandrum, which is the tip. If you look at India and come down to the tip, right, the tip is Trivandrum. And the state on the west side, on the left, as you're looking at the map, is called Kerala. There are several states in India, just like Texas is a state. Actually, it's a country. People just don't know that yet. But Kerala is a state, and I ministered in the state of Kerala most of the time I was there. They speak the language of Malayalam. Malayalam is their native language in Kerala. Every state has its own language in India. And then they have a national language called Hindi. And then they have 176 dialects. Or actually, somebody said 700 something, but it's amazing how many different languages. But I was preaching there, and I'd gone to all these little villages. I preached in a village called Mavalakera. I preached in one called Alapi and Trichur. I preached in one called, I was going up the coastline to Alapi, Trichur, went up to the mountains of Manimuli, real place. And I went off into this, I went as far as we could in a car, and I went as far as we could, then we got out of the car and got in a Jeep. Went as far as we could in a Jeep, across a couple streams. Then we got out of the Jeep, we got a canoe, and we crossed a river, and then we walked up the side of this mountain. And I was preaching up in a thatched roof village. I preached all over India back in 1980. And the Kerala, just that state. And I got up in there, and there were Hindus. Of course, there's a lot of Hindus. You see them with little dots in their foreheads. And I was preaching a simple message about faith, about salvation being a gift, that God just gave it to us, that he loved us so much, that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. And I was ministering along those lines through an interpreter. They had a light bulb hanging right in front of the pulpit. And when you talk through the microphone, the light bulb would go dim. It's the way their electricity current was different. It's different than ours, the way. So it pulls. It pulls on whatever's in there. So the lighter I got, the lighter, it just got dim. And then it'd go back bright again, you know. And I saw some Hindu ladies back at the back. And I just pointed at them, you know, told them Jesus loved them and wanted them to accept him and received him. I was preaching to the whole village there in that mountain. And these two little Hindu ladies came down front and gave their life to Jesus, accepted Jesus. But I think what got them, I really, because I could sense where the anointing hit. They had a little glass of water right there that I was that I was drinking, you know, while I was preaching. Because it's hot. I mean, it's hot over there. They don't have air conditioners. So I was preaching. I said, this is a glass. I said, this glass was offered to me, and I received it. If I were to offer it to you, you'd have to receive it. You'd have to accept it. I could be a giver, but it doesn't help you unless you're a receiver. You have to come up and you have to take the glass out of my hand. That's what God is doing. He's offering something to us that, you know, there's no way we could do this. There's no way we could come up with all this. We can't earn it. You know, we can't be good enough. He just offered it to us. But it's not, the deal's not complete. It's not done until you come and you accept it, until you receive it. So whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's when you come. That's when you reach out and you receive the gift that God offered. And I know that's what hit the, I could tell, I just knew in my spirit that's what hit those ladies. And they came down and they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the victory that overcame their world, hallelujah, the world of Hinduism. And they really, they're disowned by their family at that point. At that point, their family just disowns them. Many Hindus change their name when they get saved because their name is a Hindu name. Most Christians over there that you meet are David and Abraham and Sarah and Rebecca. That's their names. Because they've changed their names when they got saved to biblical names, to Christian names. And it's just amazing. But it's faith that gets it done. It's faith that receives this gift that God's given us. And it's faith that causes us to live in this victory. We have to continue to receive from God because we can't make it a day without him. See, that's the thing we've got to get a hold of here. If we're going to be his disciples and we're going to overcome the world like he said, then we're going to have to live and learn to live by faith. We're going to have to learn to trust him with our daily needs. We're going to have to learn to call on him when something goes wrong instead of trying to handle it ourselves. Instead of trying to man up and be a man all by ourselves without God, well, you're no kind of man if you don't have God in your life. I can tell you that. You can't be a man without God. Hello. It takes a man to call on God. It takes a man to love Jesus. It takes a man to stand up for Jesus. And a woman too. Are you out there? But if you're willing to do that, oh hallelujah, oh happy day, Jesus washed my sins away. Woo! I mean, it just gets gooder and gooder. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. We got life, praise God. We got what the world's been looking for. I got it. I'm walking around with it every day. I get up with it and I go to bed and go to sleep at night and wake up. I've got life. Hallelujah. I got the life of God in me. I can make it. I can get through this. I can overcome this. He's bigger than this. Him and me and Him are bigger than this thing. Hallelujah. And He goes on. He says this. 12th verse. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Pure and simple. Could it be any more complicated? I mean, come on. We make it complicated. Excuse me. Could it be more simpler? We make it complicated. Life's not in Muhammad. Life's not in Buddha. I'm sorry, it's just not there. In fact, Buddha died, and so did Muhammad. And it won't be Muhammad sitting on a throne. It won't be Buddha calling us home. Life is in Jesus. That's not redneck. That's not hard-headed. That's not being sectarian. That's just the truth. I mean, there is one way to heaven, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I mean, that's not being, you know, unreasonable. That's not being crazy and closed-minded. And you know, Dallas, if you notice, Dallas is west of here. You ever notice that? Dallas is a particular place. If you want to go to Dallas, you can't head east. You've got to head west to get to Dallas because Dallas is a real place. And there's roads that get you to Dallas, and there's roads that take you away from Dallas. Well, God is real. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's the creator and the maker of all that is. He's the ultimate fact of all facthood. Are you with me? He made everything. And so there is a way to God, and He made the way, and that way is Jesus. It's not complicated. It's not deep. And it's not closed-minded. Some people say, you're sure hard-headed about that. You know... I mean, you're saying Muslims can't be saved? No, they can be saved. They can accept Jesus and be saved. A Buddhist can accept Jesus and be saved. An atheist can accept Jesus and be saved. Anybody can accept Jesus and be saved. But Jesus is the way to heaven, and I don't know what's so wild about that. That's just the way it is. You know, my name's Michael, and you could say, well, can I call you Shirley? And I would say, no, my name's Michael. And they say, well, can I call you Fred? Nothing against Fred or George or Henry or anybody else, but my name is Michael. And you might say, well, you're kind of closed-minded about that, aren't you? Well, yeah, I guess you'd say I'm closed-minded because that's my name. Are you out there? I mean, once you know the truth, why are you open-minded about... I mean, anybody know what state we're in? Could we just say Louisiana?
No.
Well, you're kind of hard-headed about that, aren't you? I mean, when you talk about truth, of course truth is closed-minded because truth is truth once you find it. Now, if you don't know it, you need to be open-minded. If you don't know everything, there's a lot of things I don't know. I'm very open-minded about it. But I know who I am. I know who I'm married to. I know who Jesus is. I know who God is. I know how to be saved. Are you out there? Now, that's not closed-minded. No, I found the truth.
Yeah.
I found Jesus. So I'm not hard-headed about it. I just found the truth. Glory to God. And that's the way we need to be about this thing. Amen? And quit being so wishy-washy and gray about it. Come on, you know the truth. Stand on it and run with it. You know, a chair is a chair. People can call a table all day long. It's still a chair. That doesn't make you mean and hard-headed just because you won't, you know, bend on this deal. That's a chair. I'm Michael. God is real. Jesus is the way to heaven. I'm saved.
Amen.
Case closed. Amen. So it says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Pure and simple. Oh, and then he goes on. This gets good. It gets gooder. These things have I written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, I sure hope so. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say I hope. He said, these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I know I have eternal life. How can I know that? Because I believe on the name of the Son of God. Because I believe in Jesus. I have Jesus, and he that has Jesus has life. You know, I had two Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door, and I'm four people, don't get me wrong. But they were knocking on my door and talking about a kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness and so on. But it wasn't about Jesus. It was about Jehovah. And I believe in Jehovah. I believe Jesus is Jehovah, if you want to know the truth. In fact, that's what the scripture says in Revelation 1st chapter, that he is the I am. He is the first, the last. He is Jehovah, the Almighty God. But anyway, two of the things that they were bringing out was, first of all, they had their Bible, you know, New World Translation, which I'm very familiar with the New World Translation. Just made a couple changes. But you can witness to anybody through the New World Translation. It's very simple. So they knocked on the door, and there was an older person, a younger person, and they began to ask me about a kingdom where dwelleth righteousness. And I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, I just dominated the conversation, you know. I said, I know what y'all doing. Appreciate y'all coming to the door and all. I said, but let me ask you something. Do you have eternal life? And they said, well, no, we don't. We don't have it. And I said, well, I know I have it. I know I have it. I said, let me see your Bible. And so I turned them to the scripture where it says that. It says, these things were written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Are you with me? And then I took them through several other scriptures, you know, and showed them in the Bible. And I just dominated the conversation because I was really trying to reach out to them and minister to them and let them know the truth about this thing. And as it went on, finally the older man got upset, and I guess he was getting upset because I was ministering to him, you know. And the younger guy was listening, and I thought, well, this is getting good. Maybe I'm going to get to minister to this guy. And the older guy was getting more upset, and finally he just stopped. He said, no, sir. And he says, you've got to appreciate our sincerity and our dedication. Now listen to this real close. I didn't say it to be mean, but it's the truth nonetheless. I said, well, you're sincerely wrong. You're dedicated to a lie. Because it doesn't matter how sincere you are or how dedicated you are. There's a lot of good people. Listen, there's some good people in a lot of religions that really are dedicated to what they're doing, and they're very sincere about what they're doing. But see, that doesn't mean anything if it's not the truth. Yes. Listen, there's Mormons that are sincere. There's Muslims that are sincere. There are atheists that are sincere. Oh, come on. And good people, I'm not saying that. Come on, there's a lot of good truth. You know, did you know there's a lot of good moral truth in a lot of religions? Well, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that does not mean that I believe that everything's wrong in every other religion. I don't believe that. But I believe that everything that is right is only in Christianity. Does that make sense? I believe there's some truth, but there's not enough truth to get saved. There's some truth in all religions. There's some good truth in a lot of religions. There's some moral teaching in a lot of. I mean, a Buddhist, my goodness, I wish I was that calm. Are you kidding? I mean, you slap me, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to ask God to forgive me, but I mean, I wish I had that kind of control. But see, still, that won't get you saved. That won't get you saved. You have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Now, us who do believe in Jesus, hallelujah, we are saved, hallelujah. We already got it. I have eternal life. So I want to be sincere about this, and I want to be dedicated to this, but I want to be sincere and dedicated to the truth. Because my sincerity doesn't save me. And my dedication doesn't save me. And stay with me. My faith doesn't save me. Jesus saved me. It's my faith in him. It's my faith in the truth. But just faith in anything doesn't save me. Well, as long as you believe something. No, you got to believe the truth. It's the truth that'll set you free. Amen? Is this helping anybody? Man, I don't know where I'm going with this. It's just, it's all good. It's all good. Okay. So he says, 13th verse. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. That's what I was telling them. I know I have eternal life. Right here, I believe. Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in his name. I have trusted him. So I know I have eternal life. Already got it, not hoping to get it. Not trying to get it, not hoping I get up there one day and find out. I already found out. I know that I have eternal life. And this is where it gets good. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Not that I can just get saved and know I'm saved, but that I can continue to believe in that name. I can continue to trust in him. I can continue to trust him to help me. I can continue to trust him to heal me. I can continue to trust him to get me through this mess. Hallelujah. I can overcome the world. That's what he was leading up here to. I'm not just born again. I don't just have life. I don't just trust in him and got life. I trust in him to live my life. I trust in him to overcome the world. And then he continues on the 14th verse. I don't even know if y'all are ready for this one. Volume 14 verse. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. In who? In him. Now, hey, not just in a promise, in him. Okay? Because there's all kinds of promises, but see, the reason these promises are true is because of who said them. I'm not trusting a scripture or a promise. I'm trusting in him who made the promise. In him who, in other words, the voice behind the verse. There's a voice behind the verse, amen? There's a Jesus behind this that loves me, cares for me, went to great lengths that I might be saved so I wouldn't have to go to hell, hallelujah. Came down here and became one of us and died in our place, my place, your place. He's crazy about it. He loves us. He is absolutely crazy about us. He does not hate us. He's not mad at us. He's not angry at us. That's just wrong to think that way. God does not hate us. He loves us. He is a good father, not a bad one. He has our best interest in mind. Always. Always has, always will. In fact, it's just unfathomable, his love. It's just unimaginable, his love. When you get to heaven and you look in those eyes and you see his love for you and you see his concern for you and his compassion for you, it'll revolutionize your whole concept of God. And we need to get a hold of it now instead of waiting until then to get it, because he really does love us with an infinite, unfathomable, unknowable love, better than your best day, better than when your little granddaughter comes running down the aisle. I mean, come on, that just melts my heart. You know, my little grandkids, I just overwhelmed. I almost turn into a baby again. You know, I get to where older I get, the easier it is for me to cry. But I just love my kids. I love my grandkids. I just do anything for them. But that's nothing. That is nothing compared to God. Nothing compared to God. And we spend our whole life just trying to make him happy, trying to please him. And yet, I do want to please him, but see, we don't understand. He already loves us. He is already crazy about us. He's already accepted us. We're already part of this thing. That ought to make me want to live right. Amen? If I have this hope in me, that's what John said. He says, those that have this hope within them purify themselves. You want to live right. If you love will make you want to live right. So he says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we, oh wow. Are you catching this? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God is listening when we pray. In a time of trouble, when the world comes against us, as it were, in the time of stress, the time when you just don't feel like you can make another day, if you'll pray, you'll call on God, this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we do call, when we do pray, he hears us. He hears us when we pray. This is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will. Anybody have a clue what God's will is? Just a simple clue? His word. Whatever he said. I mean, God's not going to say one thing mean another. So if he says he'll do this, and that's his will. I mean, so that's not complicated. A lot of people get all turned around about the will. The will of God's real simple. It's just whatever he says. How about being saved? What do you think his will is? He wants you to be saved, right? In fact, if someone came down front here that never had been in church, never had called on Jesus, and we gave an invitation, they came down front here, and I asked them if they knew Jesus, and they said no, and I'd say, do you want to? And they'd say yes. And I read them scripture, say John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. A little slower than that. But anyway, I said, do you believe on Jesus now? And he says yes. And do you want to receive him into your heart? You want to call on him? You want to confess Jesus? Yes, I do. And he does. Now, what should be my response to that? My response should be, God receives you. You're now saved, because the Bible says that. It should be. But now, if we did like we did other prayers, we'd say, well, now, we tried that. We hope that works. We don't know for sure if God heard you. You never know what the Lord will do. And sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait a while. So we just wait around here to see and find out whether God will save you or not. Now, who in their right mind ever says that? Yeah. I don't care what church you are. No, I've never heard anybody say that about salvation. But any other subject, they will. And yet, in every other subject, they have a scripture that says emphatically what God will do. Yeah. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask God to give it to all men in liberty. Let him ask in faith, nothing waver, and it shall be given. For the man that wavers is like a wave of the sea, is tossed to and fro, shaken with the wind. Let not that man think that, you know, he should receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But it backs up, says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given. But let him ask in faith. So if you ask for wisdom, what should I tell you? Well, if you're asking God for wisdom, know this. God may make you stupid. No, I shouldn't say that, should I? If you ask for wisdom, God will give you wisdom, won't he? He may not, we don't know. Well, no, he said he would. He said he would give it to you. So this is the confidence in closing. Let me close this out. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, it's according to whatever he said, whatever his will is, whatever his word is. If we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, come on now. See, this is how we begin to learn to overcome the world. We as believers, now I am a believer. I am born of God. I got that settled. And now I am born to overcome the world. And the way I overcome the world is my faith. And my faith is used when I pray. Isn't that what he's saying? And so if I do these things, this is how I overcome. I pray about things. And you know when I pray, I believe. Believe what? I believe I have what I ask for. It's kind of like what Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh the door will be opened unto them. Which of you, being evil, have a son, ask for a piece of bread, and you throw him a rock and say, here, chew on that. Which of you, being evil, has a son, ask for a piece of fish, and you throw him a serpent and say, or a scorpion and say, chew on that. If you then being evil, Jesus said, this is the 7th chapter of Matthew, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Oh, glory to God.